Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films, Joan of Arc, Rewind, and The Rabbi Goes West. And you have come north. Hello, David. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Joe. How are you doing this week?
I am all right. I hear that Connecticut is the 50th state to reopen. How many states are there?
Yeah, that's right. That's the dead last. That's your state. On the other hand, Maryland has apparently opened up a little bit, but not the city of Baltimore, where I am sitting at this very moment. So things here remain pretty much exactly the same. And I imagine that they're more or less the same in Connecticut as well. This is a very gradual process, it turns out, this reopening business.
Yes.
But that said, I continue to see movies, even though the movie theaters remain all closed anywhere near me. There's a really interesting stuff that's streaming in all kinds of different ways, different formats. There's a few different theaters that I like to stream through, because that way I'm also supporting the theaters themselves. And, what I'm hoping is that when everything gets back to whatever normal is going to be, that this idea of movie theaters making certain films available through streaming services will continue, because there are movies which I probably would have been waiting for longer to get anywhere near me, which I can now see by streaming them maybe through a movie theater which is nowhere near where I am. So that's a good thing, I think. And one of the movies I want to talk about today, which is called Joan of Arc, and you can't get a much more straightforward title than that, is actually streaming through the auspices of a very fine company called Kimsnim, which releases a lot of very interesting movies, and this is their latest release. And this is a movie, it's a French movie, and it's by the French filmmaker Bruno Dumont, who is a very, very interesting movie maker. And one of the things he has, not all of his movies plug into this, but he has a very strong religious streak if you look through his overall career. And that's the kind of thing that's not exactly fashionable nowadays. Certainly not a whole lot of Hollywood movie makers make films that have a strong kind of devotional side to them. And Bruno Dumont's movies tend to be, they tell regular stories. I'm not saying that there's some kind of churchy experience, but his very first film, made way back in the middle to late 90s, was called The Life of Jesus, even though it was very much a contemporary film. And then he made a movie called L'Humanité, which kind of put him on the map as a major filmmaker, which is about a police inspector who seems to be able to literally sniff out sin. And since then, he's made a number of other films, and certainly not all of them have this religious dimension to them particularly. He's also made a couple of TV miniseries, which are basically just comedies. But now he is going back to his very, his religious point of view, making this movie about Joan of Arc. And this is a sequel in a way, although Dumont himself says that the movies, there's absolutely no reason why you have to see the first movie in order to appreciate his second movie. But 3 years ago, he released a film called Jeannette, The Childhood of Joan of Arc. And it was about Joan of Arc as basically, I won't say a little girl, but a very young girl, around the age of 9 or 10 years old. And she has sort of foreshadowings of the great life that she's going to lead. But it's very much about Joan of Arc as a little girl, sort of running around the fields with her little friends and minding her sheep and that sort of thing. And it's a musical, and it has songs in it. And the songs have a very heavy rock beat, almost a kind of a disco kind of beat. So that was the earlier film. That was the movie that came out 3 years ago, Jeannette, The Childhood of Joan of Arc. We now have a movie just called Joan of Arc, which is about Joan of Arc, but played by the same young actress who now I think is just about a little more than 10 years old. Now, the real Joan of Arc was burned at the stake when she was 19. So usually she's played by an actress who's been around for a while. There have been a lot of movies about Joan of Arc, and usually it's some perfectly mature 20-something or 30-something actress who plays Joan of Arc. In this case, we have somebody who is younger than the historical Joan of Arc playing her, and this very interesting effect, and it gives the movie a kind of an uncanny feel, which I think is quite appropriate to the story. But what we have in Bruno Dumont's new movie, Joan of Arc, is basically a fairly straightforward biography of Joan of Arc, her experiences as a young woman. But it's still unusual in a couple of ways. First of all, it's not a musical, but there are some songs in it. And they're very unusual songs and not sung in the usual way, but more sort of almost chanted on the soundtrack. Number two that makes this movie very unusual is that the kind of action scenes that we might hope to see, Joan of Arc defeating the British and that sort of thing, not really in the movie at all. What we have is just before a big battle or just after a big battle, sometimes the preparations for a big battle, but we never see the big battle itself. Now, on one hand, this could be said to be, maybe it's just a matter of budget. You know, Bruno Dumont couldn't afford to film big battle scenes, and that's altogether possible. On the other hand, what it gives you is a sense that we are dealing here not with sort of earthly, worldly action, but with the results of all that, maybe almost on more of a sort of a spiritual scale. And the movie gives you that sense very strongly. But what we have is basically the overall course of Joan of Arc's career, and ultimately we do see her having beaten the British and now being imprisoned and being put on trial by all of these clerical types, and her being interrogated and so forth, and ultimately in the very, very end of the movie being burned at the stake, although we just get a hint of that at well. There's no kind of, again, no kind of gory scene of a poor woman being burned. We just sort of, it's insinuated. We know exactly what's happening, but we don't have to suffer through actually seeing it, and then the movie comes to a graceful conclusion. Now, I have to say, I think this new movie, Joan of Arc, which again is available through streaming, and I totally recommend it, it's been very badly misunderstood. Reviews have not been good for this movie. It's won some awards in France, but here in America, early reviews have not been very favorable. I think it's a marvelous movie. On the one hand, it's very strange in its way, having this very young Joan of Arc, and it gives this sort of uncanny sense, which I just found really enthralling. But more important than that, the movie is on the one hand really, really physical, material. It takes place in real locations, which include fields out in the countryside, which are gorgeously photographed, and a magnificent cathedral with magnificent architecture and magnificent patterns of detail. So it has this real, both of its feet are planted very strongly in the physical material world. On the other hand, the movie is very stylized. Again, those songs on the soundtrack. It's not a realistic movie in that sense at all. And so the movie is on the one hand really physical and on the other hand really stylized, really made to look elegant and gorgeous in ways that are not part of our own everyday experience. And all this gave it this sense of spirituality to me, which I found really, really captivating. So again, it's a movie which is not just for ordinary Saturday night movie going. It's very unusual, and I think it's been very badly misunderstood in the United States, but I find it really enthralling, a beautiful movie in every way, and again with this spiritual dimension, which I found really quite exciting. Second movie today, in fact, both of our other films for today are documentaries. Joan of Arc is basically a biopic, a sort of a docudrama in a way. But both of our movies now are biographies. Are documentaries. And I want to deal briefly with this film called Rewind, which is a pretty harrowing documentary. So this is one of those films that you sort of have to look out for. You may not want it to take you unaware. It is basically the very true story of something that happened all not that long ago, which was that a family in the Philadelphia area turned out to have been plagued with child abuse episodes. And the movie was made by a victim of this. The movie was made by Sasha Joseph Neulinger. And it is very much about his family. And it turns out that his father was loved to take videos of the family. He was a real home movie fanatic. And what he did was he just was constantly had his camcorder out and was constantly taking videos of the family. So now, when it came out years later that all of this horrible sexual abuse was going on by no fewer than two or three members, adult members of the family, abusing more than one child in the family, there are clues hidden in all this videotape that the family accumulated over years and years and years and years and years. years. So that is what this is. And again, it is very, very real. And we've certainly had this sort of thing has been around before. Several years ago, there was a movie called Capturing the Freedmans, which I think is a better movie, which is, again, which is about a family that had a whole lot of home movie footage sitting around. And there turned out to be a child abuse scandal unfolding within the family. And all kinds of interesting material came from this this home movie material, which a filmmaker then put, in that case, Andrew Jarecki, then put together. In this case, it is one of the people who was totally in the middle of this family horror, this Sasha Joseph Neulinger himself, who was able to take all of this footage, a lot of which has him in it as a child, during which he was living a very, very unhappy and abused little kidhood, him taking all this material and putting it together to fill in the family history, to try to figure out what really happened, and above all, to try to come to terms with it himself. Now, there's a lot of interviews with other people in this, from the judicial system, from the police system, and so forth. Also, one of the abusers was a really, really prominent rabbi in New York, really prominent, a leading figure in American religion, who turned out to be totally up to his ears and all of this sinfulness, and this also enters into it. So it's a very dramatic story, but it's a very compassionate story, and the movie is told by the filmmaker, who again was a victim of this, not in ways that are meant to shock us or scandalize us, but in ways that are meant to open our eyes to some of the kinds of things that go on. And above all, we get a very, very strong sense that the filmmaker has really come to terms with this very successfully. So in that way, it's a very upbeat story, and we see that even though people went to jail and people got punished and so forth, and people were abused and traumatized in very unfortunate ways, it seems that at least some of the principles of this seem to have come through it in very, very good psychological condition. So in that sense, the movie is a very, it's an upbeat film in its own sort of downbeat way. So I found it a very engrossing documentary with that very simple title, Rewind. Final film, The Rabbi Goes West, another documentary. And here I am breaking the rules because I am going to review a movie now which was made by a couple of very dear friends of mine, Gerald Peary and Amy Geller. They are a husband and wife team. And in their earlier work, Jerry has been the director and Amy has been the producer. And in this case, they have both directed the film together. And it is just a really, really marvelous, entertaining, excellent film. And I don't have the slightest bit of guilty conscience over telling the world how good it is, because I am not influenced by my great affection for Jerry and Amy. It is just a marvelous movie. Now, Jerry has been a film critic for decades and decades. That's how I originally know him. And in fact, his first movie, which came out about 11 years ago, was called For the Love of Movies, The Story of American Film Criticism. And it is a documentary about movie critics. And it has me in it. Although I must say that despite that, it's a very lovely movie. Then, about 5 years ago, another movie came out from this same team called Archie's Betty. And this deals with the Betty, everybody I hope remembers Betty and Veronica from the great Archie comics. This is about Jerry's search for the real-life person who inspired the character of Betty in the great old Archie comics. So that's why it's called Archie's Betty. And it's really kind of about Jerry's Archie's Betty, because it's about Jerry's search for the real-life woman who inspired the Betty of the old Archie comics. So now we have another film which has a different kind of a subject. The Rabbi Goes West is the true-life story of a rabbi who went from Brooklyn, a conservative rabbi, who went from Brooklyn out to Montana to spread the faith. So he went out to a part of the United States where there are not a whole lot of Jews, and his great mission in life was to get to put a Jewish fixture, a mezuzah, on every door frame he could get a hold of out there in Montana. So basically he goes out, he seeks out Jews in Montana, and most of them are not as religious as him, because he's an extremely religious figure, very, very deeply, deeply religious. He's a Chabad, which is a branch of Hasidism. He's a very conservative and very serious-minded religious figure. So he goes out to this part of the country where there are very few Jews, and he tries to seek out everyone and just encourage them to renew their faith, to revive their faith, to be more active in their faith. So that's what it's about. However, he runs into some opposition. There are other Jews out there, including rabbis, who don't much like his approach. There are people who think he's pushing too hard, who feel that he has no business intruding on the lives. He's a guy from Brooklyn, intruding on the lives of these people out there in Montana, telling them how they ought to live, how they ought to practice their religion. But he's such a good-natured guy, and he's such an open-hearted guy, and in his own strange way, such an open-minded guy, that nobody really minds what he's doing, and he persists regardless of what else goes on. So that's what it's about. The movie has – I'm not Jewish. I found the movie to have tremendous humor, tremendous kind of religious resonance in a very lighthearted way, and also a kind of a very serious attitude toward what is this underlying subject, which is about what happens when we feel, as this rabbi does, really passionately about something, but all the people around us don't feel the same way and may resent a little bit our feeling that way. So I have to recommend The Rabbi Goes West very, very highly, whether or not you're Jewish, whether or not you like documentaries. It's just a wonderful, good-hearted movie that covers its subject from a lot of different angles, all of which I found really, really fascinating. So again, by my good friends Amy Geller and Jerry Peery, but it's a lovely movie for anybody to see. The Rabbi Goes West. So that is my semi-documentary story this week, Joe.
Cheerfully. Thank you so much. David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Joan of Arc, Rewind, and The Rabbi Goes West.